right, it's JPEG and Raw, show number 231 in late May, May 21st here, Tim. And it is already getting crazy hot here. We were in 93, I think, today is where we hit. Summer is here. Spring did not last long. And going to be probably a hot summer.
Yeah, and yesterday we hit upper 80s here, but today and the rest of the week is supposed to be low to mid 70s, which is a nice, comfortable temperature.
That's nice. Well, I know some people are wondering, hey, Mike, and hey, Tim, where have you guys been? What's going on? Why, you know, hadn't seen you in a while. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. So Tim's been traveling. I've been traveling. You know, work's getting in the way. I don't know how much more traveling I have to do. I think you probably have some more to do. I have a vacation coming up somewhere later this this summer, I think in June. But, you know, look, the reality is at least for me, Tim, I'm only going to speak for me. Reality is work and other things, you know, I still have a good bit of weight to lose, but I've made some good progress. And that plus home things that are going on, plus work as I try and build an analytics team from zero, and we try and do more with the analytics. There's just a lot going on. And unfortunately, I don't see our inconsistency, at least in the short term, I don't see our inconsistency getting back to whatever consistent levels we were before. There's still going to be, we're still going to be a little bit spotty going forward for a little bit. Hopefully you'll bear with us and stay subscribed or watch through YouTube whenever you're live. That has made it a little difficult in scheduling guests because I want to get back to doing guests, but it, you know, being inconsistent doesn't work well with guests.
Yes.
But something that we're going to show later and talk about later in the show, I do want to get AD on. AD is, I think he can be a little more flexible with us. He definitely knows a lot more about things like Luminar and some of those products. And I think it's time for him to demo some of that because there's been some big changes there. I've played with enough, but not enough really to demo that for anybody. So I think getting him on whenever he has time to you know, give us an update on that would be a good idea. So we'll have that coming up before too long. So going right into it, and speaking of other products, Tim, I don't know if you saw some of the news lately. Let's go over this one first. And we're going to have two stories here about Adobe. And then we'll go into something else. But this one here about Adobe, where they're basically have told people that, hey, if you're using an old version of Creative Cloud software, because it used to be where if you were installing Photoshop or Lightroom, whatever, you could choose from many versions back. I don't remember how many it was, but it was more than two. I think you're limited now to two. Two versions. It used to be where you can go further back, and now they're saying, hey, if you're using a older version, you need to get rid of it or you may get sued.
Which I think is absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah. And I don't think Adobe itself is saying we're going to sue you. Maybe they are. But I think what they're saying is, and they haven't come out and just told us. I wish they would just tell us. But the theory is that somewhere in some of their older software, they have something that they no longer have the rights to use.
Their rights to use, right. So it's not Adobe, right. That's how I kind of got it. It was something with, it might have been Dolby. And they may not be the ones suing you. Somebody else may sue you for using software that you're not allowed to use that's built into the old versions of Adobe.
Yes.
And that's how I read it.
And I think that people are speculating it's Dolby because Dolby is actually suing them right now. We don't know for sure if that's who it is. But Dolby is suing them over some kind of copyright infringement. I think Dolby wanted to audit. They claim that they have the authority to audit the sales and the user base of Adobe and make sure that they're getting the royalties they should from their stuff. And Adobe basically said, no, we're not going to let you audit us. And that's where the suit has come in. So, you know, I think that's part of people's problem with this whole subscription thing is, hey, if I bought... you know, Photoshop or Lightroom when it was a standalone product, you know, hopefully it's not dialing home all the time and saying, hey, Adobe, look what I got, where the current versions are dialing home. And Adobe knows, hey, you're using Lightroom three versions ago. You need to delete it because they're sending out messages to those people. Right?
Yes.
Where, you know, in the old version where you bought it a standalone, they may not know that.
I switched over relatively quickly to the standalone product when they came out with it. Because I didn't mind. I think I calculated out how much Lightroom was costing me every, what was it? I think it was every 2 years. Or was it every
something
3 years?
Like that.
They were somewhere. It was very close to the amount. I said, you know what? I'm upgrading anyway. It didn't bother me. And I knew I was getting perpetual license. No doubt. I say this to everybody. I really dislike the fact that I have a monthly bill on something else. My parents, when they grew up, had gas, electric, and the phone. And you think about what we pay monthly for, you don't realize it's nickel and diming you to death, and people don't realize it. And this is just another one.
Do you have your credit card out right there, ready to buy something?
No, it's my AAA card.
Okay, don't show us the number.
Yeah, no.
But maybe you're going to buy us something right here.
Yeah, no. My AAA card, which I don't even need anyway because it's in my phone with saved in the app. But I think that's really what's and I think the problem is people are annoyed at it. And I really wonder how many people have not upgraded. What is the percentage of people that have not upgraded to the subscription model? Because you can't buy a standalone product from Adobe anymore, correct?
Right. You can't. No.
And that's for a couple of years already.
I don't like the monthly fee either. But, I have got it. I've got the whole thing. So there's things I'm getting that I wouldn't have bought. I wouldn't have probably have bought Adobe Audition, which is the audio editing one. I'm getting that. And I use it a lot for this show. I bought, I get Adobe Photoshop, which I would have bought that one, but I probably would have skipped multiple generations because it was so expensive, if you remember.
Absolutely. I mean, it was like 500.
Yeah.
I think it was 500, it was probably maybe more. And I think the upgrade was like 250 to 300. So I know I was not getting it every, because I didn't use it nearly as much.
Yeah.
And Lightroom does 90% of what I need anyway.
So you may say, hey, if you're on the Creative Cloud and you're paying monthly and they're giving you all the upgrades included in that price, why wouldn't you just be upgrading and be on the latest version all the time? And that is what I do. I'm on the latest version all the time.
Same as me.
But some people, they may be on a machine where maybe the new features in this one they don't like them, or they don't work, or they don't perform as well. There are some people who don't necessarily want to be on the latest version, and maybe they've got a version that works for them. And even though it's coming through Creative Cloud, they can upgrade. They're not wanting to break something that already works. So there may be reasons for doing that. And, it just shows you the trap we're all in now with Adobe, that, they can come up and say, hey, I know that the three versions ago one is working better for you, but I don't care. You need to upgrade to the current one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just forced upgrade through this. And the fact that they have whatever problem they have with whatever vendor, maybe it's Adobe, maybe it's somebody else, whatever problem they have with this other vendor, they've now involved us in it.
Well, now, as you see, Gary is saying he did not upgrade it and he's using CS6 still, which is the last version. So that 33% of the people talking right now are not upgrading. So that's a lot.
So the thing with Gary, since he's using CS6, which is before Creative Cloud, right?
Yes.
It's the last one for Creative Cloud. Adobe's not going to come to him and say, hey, you know what? We snuck into your computer and you have to upgrade.
Yeah.
That the old way of doing it, Gary doesn't have to upgrade. He can use that for as long as he wants.
Right, and that's why people kept it. And I don't think there's been that many upgrades to Photoshop to force it.
Well, it depends on what you're using. There have been quite a few upgrades in CS6.
Yeah, but I don't use Photoshop that much. Lightroom, yeah, I'm in that all the time.
Yeah, but for Gary, if CS6 is working for him, then why spend the money to upgrade?
Right.
Yeah, just keep using it. But if he was on Creative Cloud and maybe he just installed the first one and it worked and he said, look, that's good. I'm working. I don't want to mess anything up. Adobe would now, force him to. And you wonder where this goes from here.
Correct.
The initial email out to say, hey, you need to do something. What do they do after that? What happens when they look out and say, crap, we still have 30,000 people using this version. I'm very interested to see where this goes.
Yeah.
Because if you're so serious about it that you send out a message to the user base that you know is going to fire them up,
mm-hmm.
then you can't just stop with, please stop using it. There's going to have to be a follow-up that's going to get worse.
Yeah, this could just be a black eye on Adobe for a small user base, no less.
Yep. Well, let's talk about the next black eye for Adobe. And that is them testing increasing the price of the Photoshop, photographer plan, which the photographer plan right now, if you remember, is like $9.99 a month. You
get, right, which is what I'm still paying.
Yeah, you get Lightroom, you get Photoshop, and I think you get a little bit of online storage, like 100.
Yeah, 100
meg.
I thought it was 20.
20 gig? 20 gig?
Yeah, it's not a lot, and I don't even think I use it. And now it would be 1 terabyte, and they trade to raise it to $20 a month.
Right, so I don't use the online stuff either. I care less about their online storage. But
yeah, that's the same way I am.
They are testing. I'm doing air quotes. They're testing increasing the price, doubling it basically to $19.99, and giving you, like you said, giving you 1 terabyte of storage, and saying, hey, how would people react to the fact that we're going to increase the price, but we're going to double the storage? So you're getting something for it. Now I got two sides to this, Tim. You know, in this day and age, and at least in America, where there's a large push for $15 minimum wage and living wages, and, you know, I know you, Tim, me, and probably everybody listening mm-hmm. wants to make more money next year than we made last year, mm-hmm. right?
And they're a publicly traded company, so they need to make more money.
They have employees writing the software, supporting the software, doing everything with this. So at some point and somewhere in the future, they have to raise the price.
Correct.
Or they lose money, or they stop paying their people as much, or something. If you want to give the people, you know, increases in salary, and your vendors are probably doing the same thing, at some point you got to raise your own prices.
Well, I was surprised that they kept it at $9.99 for the longest time. I was always afraid they were going to raise it. And you know what? If you'd raised it. It came out 2013, I think, was when this came out, $9.99. If you went up at 2015 to $12.99 and maybe now $15.99, I don't think people would be complaining as much, because, yeah, you need to make a profit on this, no doubt. And things don't get cheaper as the years go along. But going from $10 to $20 is just hard for people. Now, they haven't mentioned anything in this. And if I remember reading this when this initially came out, because this came out a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
You could still get the $9.99. It was like hidden, so you could get it, but it wasn't publicized. So it was just testing to see what people were willing to pay. And nowhere in this does it mention either that they're going to take you and I, well, me, because I paid the $9.99 for mm-hmm. the photographer plan, that they were going to raise me to $20. It doesn't say that anywhere. Yeah. And based on the other article we reviewed, I wouldn't be surprised that they just say, well, no, here's your terabyte of storage, and which I don't need. And I mean, give me the option. And I would think, see, I know the problem is most people probably wouldn't take that 1 terabyte.
Right.
And they'd
right.
rather pay the $9.99, because I have other ways of that I'm backing up anyway.
Sure, absolutely. And if you go on there, like now, if you go on the Adobe's website, at least here in the United States, I believe, if not all of us, most of us, we'll still see $9.99. I went on earlier today, and it was still $9.99. So I don't know what market they were testing this in and giving it a try, but, you know, somebody's got a screenshot mm-hmm. here of it, so obviously they were trying it somewhere. And that is in U.S. dollars, I believe, that they're showing there. So I don't know where they were trying this. But the question comes, all right, so if we can all agree, maybe we can't, but if we all agree at some point in time, they have to raise the price.
Mm-hmm.
The question then becomes, should they hold off as long as they can and have a larger increase? So let's say they are now. Let's just make the argument that they're there now. They need to increase the price. And since they've never done it, it's going to be a larger increase, and they're going to go from $9.99 to $19.99. Or should they have some type of roadmap and say, hey, look, instead of doing one big increase 5 years from now, we're going to do, you know, multiple increases. I think either way, people are mad, but there's got to be some way for them to do it.
I agree. See, now when I go look at the Adobe plan, see, and it came up, when I went into it, it came up different. It's got the photography plan for 20 gig for $9.99.
Yeah.
It's got the photography plan 1 terabyte for $19.99. And then it has a Lightroom plan 1 terabyte for $9.99.
Let me pull it up myself.
And I didn't see that one before, but now that is only the web-based version, not the Lightroom Classic. So it's the, I don't even know what they call the new Lightroom.
I don't know. They've been playing around with the naming of the photography Lightroom also.
So I thought that was interesting. So now they're testing that out there. So it's under the compare plans.
Yep, I'm getting there.
So that's interesting. That's a new version that I didn't see previously.
Yeah, when I see it, I see the three. The photography plan 20 gig, the photography plan 1 terabyte, and then Lightroom plan 1 terabyte. So they still have that. I don't remember the
one on the right.
1999 one being there. Do you remember that?
Well, that's a new one that's been added in.
Yeah.
No doubt. But do you remember the other one, the Lightroom only for $999?
I don't. No.
So those two are new, I guess. And if they, I could see them eliminating that first column, the 20 gig plan. I can really see that. And it's going to force me into that second column. And I really don't want it. Now, I'd hope they grandfather people in and give you the option. I don't know if they will.
Yeah. So I'd be interested, you know, email me your thoughts or send them to whatever, Facebook or whatever you want to. They're on. What do you think they should do? Maybe you say, no, they should never raise the prices, which
I don't think
is
that's
unrealistic.
Realistic
that's unrealistic. Yeah. But if that's what you think, then let me know. But also, you know, if you were the CEO of Adobe, and, you know, let's assume even if he doesn't ever get a raise, or he or she, I don't know, ever get a raise, they're still going to have to raise the prices because of you know, most of the costs are still the people.
Right, because they're giving raises to people.
Yeah, so they have to raise the price. What would you do? More frequent, smaller increases, or infrequent, larger increases? With that, I'm not sure which way I'd go because I would hate every year to know. All right, now it's $10.99. Now it's $11.99. That would kind of tick me off too. I don't know where I don't. I definitely don't want to go from $9.99 to $19.99 either.
No, that's. If you raised it now to 13, I probably would be like, all right, that, you know what, you have your costs are going up. You need to be compensated because they're obviously everything's getting more expensive for them too.
Yeah. So maybe something. Yeah,
I don't think minimum wage is impacting them, but
probably not.
You know, but when you raise people's minimum wage, the person that's making more than that needs to be, they're going to say they need to be compensated as well.
Yeah. I think right now, at least in the United States, the job market is so tight. In anything in IT and accounting and several other fields, the unemployment rate is so tight that companies are having to pay more to retain and attract those employees. So, you know, while the minimum wage may not be affecting the men and women who are writing the software and supporting the software, what the market itself is affecting them and what they have to pay to keep and attract those people. Yeah, I live in that world too, not on a scale of Adobe, but I live in that world and know that firsthand. So, you know, that also brings up, Tim, all right, let's say you're with those two articles, you're disgusted with Adobe and say, what are my options?
And there are options?
There are a number of options. I don't have all of them here. I'm not going to be demoing all of them, but there's a number of options that you have out there. You have On1, which I've never used On1. You have from Skylum, you have Luminar 3 now, which does have some digital asset management in it. And then Gary says, Gary out in chat says, we're thinking only
Photoshop, Lightroom. Mm-hmm. What's happening with their other products?
Yeah, so I don't know, Gary. That's a good question as far as if you're like the whole Creative Cloud, that thing is depending on whether you have a student discount or teacher discount or educator discount, or you're paying full price. I think full price is something like over $50.
53. I think it's 53. But now that hasn't been raised. Or was that in 49 when it initially came out?
It was 49.
50, yeah, 53 seems an odd number that I would have remembered. So I want to say that was probably 49 at one time, but I that's just a guess.
Yeah.
Either way, back then I knew it was too expensive for me anyway. It's like I'm not spending $600 a year for the software.
So if we go over and look at it, so you got right now on this page, you got $9.99 for the photography plan. I guess here you can choose. If I go to 1 terabyte, it goes up. Yeah. So You have $20 a month for any single app. Okay, I'm going to choose Photoshop because I like to pay $20 a month for Photoshop rather than just doing the photography plan with get Photoshop and Lightroom. That's insane. I can either pay $9.99 a month and get Photoshop and Lightroom, or
$20 just for one.
$20.99 just for Photoshop. Yeah.
Yeah, photography, when they came out with that, and I don't think they initially came out with that. I think it was $9.99 just for Lightroom, and then later on, I think they added Photoshop to it.
Yeah, they, yeah.
That wasn't initially in there, and that's why I say it made it sound like such a wonderful deal.
Yeah. And then the All Apps is now $52.99. I believe you're right. That is more than it used to be. If you have, if you're a student at, or that doesn't seem right. I don't know. Oh, here it is. If you're annual paid monthly, $19.99 a month. If you're a student, a teacher, or in the education realm, you can get it for a little bit cheaper, for quite a bit cheaper, actually. If you're there, business, they probably charge you even more.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yeah, I think that price has already increased there. But, you know, Luminar, I mentioned Luminar is another choice that you can do, and Luminar has added the digital asset management to it. I haven't done enough with it to really demo it, and I do have it installed on my machine, but that's where we, you know, and they have some stuff, at least their demos look really good. I mean, look at that, going from that to begin with to that. I mean, that looks just fantastic. And now I wonder if, you know, you wonder in real life, why can't I change that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can't change that. That's not something can change. Whether it's all that easy to use. We recently, they reached out to us, Tim, and recently wanted to partner with us through an affiliate link. So if you're interested in buying this and buying Luminar, hold off for just a little bit because I'm going to have a link that's going to save you 10% on that going in the future. I do want to use it more, and it is an option. You know, AD has shown us a previous version. I'd like to get him on and do a demo of Luminar 3 because it's quite a bit different. Last time I talked to him, he said the Windows version, which is what I would use, the Windows version was still having trouble. But that was a few weeks or maybe a month ago. So hopefully they've addressed whatever issues that have happened with that.
Right.
If you are a previous Luminar owner, are you, Tim?
Yes.
I think this is a free upgrade.
Yeah, I know the last time I went in there, I got an upgrade on my software. I don't know if I had Luminar 3, but definitely, yeah, it's once I bought it, and I seem to remember when we were talking about initially that they said it was upgrades for life, which I thought was, and that's part of the reason I didn't mind paying the money up front, because I was like, all right, that's a good deal.
Yeah. No, and you know, whether you like them or not, you know, I think having competition to Adobe is a great thing. I think having, you know, these guys who are continuing to innovate, having On1, at least living in the Windows world, there's also GIMP in the Linux world, and I'm sure there's stuff for Mac that I don't know, but a lot of these work for both Mac and Windows. That competition is good, and some of these have a free trial. Do these guys have a free trial? But 60-day money back guarantee. I don't think that's. I think you got to buy it, and then you can get your money back, which is a little different. But give them a try. If you're struggling with the Adobe products, keep your Adobe products. Give these guys a try, and then if you can make the switch, you know, make the switch if it works for you. I'm really so embedded in using the Adobe products that it's going to be hard for me, but what I really need to do is take a photo shoot, because a lot of my stuff that I do is sports. Take a shoot and just try and edit all of it in like Luminar and see what I think of the process.
Mm-hmm.
For me, there's so many shortcuts in Lightroom where I can, maybe I look at all my high ISO ones or certain ISO ones, make an adjustment to one for noise, and then apply that to all the rest of them. Or then you know, maybe you banged out, because often, well, I will shoot, you know, a series of the action. I can edit the first one and then apply that to the whole rest of them. So you get some efficiencies going on there that I really need that in whatever, you know, solution I go to. And I know at first Luminar was one image at a time. editing one image at a time. And that's just never going to work for me. I guess if you're doing landscapes like they have here, where you're going to spend a good bit of time trying to make this a better image, that makes sense. But for a sports shooter like me, where I may come home and I'm going to cull through the images and try to get down to a manageable level. Mm-hmm. But that still may be 200 plus shots, in that I need something that's going to help me make that a more efficient edit.
Yes.
And anything that doesn't, it's not going to work.
And I think that's been my problem. That's why I know it too well to switch.
That is true. But I will tell you, Tim, the first time I used Lightroom,
it was hell.
Was it like a 30-day trial? Some reason I remember it being a 30-day trial.
I'd have been in that, and I probably walked away from it the first time, and then I probably read something, because back then I had used a couple of different things. I was using probably Photoshop Elements, and then I was using Photoshop, and within it had Bridge, and I liked Bridge's use of organizing, but it wasn't that good. Yeah. And then once I started using Lightroom, and maybe I started watching videos. There was some guy that Mike something or another that was doing videos on you. No, not you. Nice try. He was doing photo Lightroom and explaining it. I was like, well, this makes sense. And I probably went back to it. And once I started using it, everything is in there. It's so easy to find pictures now. Now, granted, I also have all my pictures up on Google Photos. They automatic, when they go up on my computer, they sync to Google Photos. And you type my daughter's name, and it finds every picture that she's ever been in. And it's amazing, because it picks when she was an infant to where she is now.
And does it do RAW? Does it upload the RAW?
No, it probably doesn't. I'm downloading my ARWs and then converting them to digital negative. So it's definitely my digital negatives are up there, because I don't convert anything to JPEG.
Okay.
So it's definitely pulling the DNG files.
I don't have that synced up. And you have that it gives you unlimited storage for the photos?
I think I'm paying for 200.
Okay, so you're paying for a little bit extra storage.
Yeah, I think I paid $1.99 or $2.99 a month on that. So okay. there's another monthly fee.
And I believe I have paying for extra storage over there, but not for photos. I don't know for other things I'm doing with it. But for me, if for some reason I remember the trial being 30 days, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it seems like it was day 17, and I was like, I just can't get to where I like this product. And something happened at that point where it's like maybe a light bulb went off or something. And then the rest of it was like, oh my God, yeah, this works for me and I love it. And that's where the editing of raw images, because I used to shoot JPEG plus raw in my camera.
I'd used to have some at points, and then I stopped.
Because before
that.
Lightroom, it seemed to, for me at least, editing the RAW was a bigger deal. It was harder to do.
Right, because you had to use what was in Photoshop. It's still in there, but I can't remember what it is. And it was a royal pain in the neck.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I would, after a game or a sports event, I would come home, edit the JPEGs real fast, put them up on the website, and people could order them from there. And whatever one they ordered, then I'd go back and say, all right, let me edit the raw images. After Lightroom, after I finally made the switch to Lightroom, after that first month, I said, forget that. I'm not shooting JPEG anymore. I'm only going to shoot raw. I don't need to shoot both. And because it made it so easy to edit raw images.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't lose that just for spite to move over to some other product.
Right.
In the end, if the other product doesn't make it easy to edit, then I'm forced to just pay whatever Adobe tells me to until it's so painful I have to.
I agree. And I don't want that to happen, but I agree with that.
Okay. All right, Tim. So,
and that's why I switched over to $9.99 a month.
Yeah.
That's exactly the reason.
So you're a big fan of your Sony camera, right?
Yes.
And so have you heard the news that eventually people are just going to throw away those or get rid of those mirrorless cameras and come all back to digital SLRs, right?
I saw that. I didn't read the article the other day on it. And I think what's happened, because remember reading that all sorts of cameras are down in the sales.
That's and the really next article.
Yeah, and really, that has a lot to do, I think, with people's phones are just so good at taking pictures now.
Yeah, so we'll come back to that article.
We'll go to this one first,
that's
right?
That's the first one. So this is the what is it, how do you say it, Ricoh?
Ricoh, that's fine. That's probably what I would say.
The people who make the Pentax cameras, and they're I don't know, you don't know what the real story here is, but what they're saying is,
I don't believe this.
Look, we're not moving to the mirrorless thing because it's kind of a fad. And in 1 to 2 years, a lot of these people who moved over to mirrorless will be coming back to a DSLR. So, you know, here's a quote. Currently, mirrorless is a newcomer. So, of course, many users are very interested in the new system. They want to use them. But after 1 or 2 years, some users who change their systems from DSLR to mirrorless come back to DSLR again. And this is kind of the reason why, which is kind of confusing. And I'm still a DSLR person. I don't have
my camera's actually mirrorless, but it's still the old, it's an SLT, it's called single lens translucent. It's not the newer type of mirrorless cameras.
Yeah. I have no burning desire to change, but I understand people who do. And at some point, I think this is where we're all headed. At some point, I will. But if you ask me today, Mike, what is your next camera? It's probably the Nikon D850, which is a DSLR. Anyway, what he says here is that's the reason people are going to come back. Let's see. Where is it? Where is that at? Okay. People can see the beautiful image through the optical viewfinder and then think, how can they create their pictures? For example, exposure level setting or white balance or ISO sensitivity, and then imagine how they can get that result, the result they're seeking. And what I'm confused because I thought that you can do all that through your mirrorless thing camera,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yeah, I
hey,
I think
Jane's in the house.
Hello, Jan. I think this could be something that could really hurt them if they think this is what's going to happen in the future. I think these new mirrorless cameras are the wave of the future. I don't think you're going to be able to stop this. I think more and more cameras are going to go this way because you're not losing anything in the final picture between the two. Just the camera body is getting smaller.
Yeah.
Do you think you're losing anything between the two?
Well, let's be honest. I haven't shot a whole lot with mirrorless, so I don't have a great,
right.
Difference there. But I don't feel that the mirrorless is attractive enough to take me away from my current camera.
And so I agree there's with nothing. That's why I haven't. We talked with AD, 2 years ago, yeah. And he tried to get me to convert, and I still haven't. But it's so a money thing because I have all the lenses.
Yeah. So for me, there's not enough appeal yet for it. Now, let's say my camera broke, I probably would go to D850. After the D850,
right.
I don't know. I mean, that's a ways to go.
Well, I guess here's the question.
Well, I'm not making a comment. I'll never go there.
All right. So let's put it this way. And these are probably the only way that's going to something happen. Let's say, God forbid, your house burnt down and all your camera equipment was destroyed, or somebody broke in and stole all your camera equipment, and now you had to get a new camera. What would you do?
Well, since I'm a Nikon guy, I would go to D850. To me, the two Nikon offerings for the mirrorless cameras are not enough to make me go there.
And that is true. Yeah, they it's been disappointing to this point. Me, I would probably go to the new Sonys.
Yeah.
The A7 series.
Because you're already in that. You're already there. I think, though, once you make the switch, if you ask anybody who's probably made the switch, the vast majority of the people, I can't see them coming back. I think what's happening here with Ricoh, or however you say their name, is that somebody high up has made the decision, we are not going mirrorless. Our bread and butter is the DSLR. Yeah. That's where the future is. There's nothing wrong with those. And we're going to keep going down that route. And now everybody needs to jump in line and sell this as where it's going to be. And I think that's the wrong thing. I don't know how big of a market
Pentax
has. I
don't see
Pentax
people buying into a camera system, a mirrorless, and 2 years later switching back to a DSLR. I don't see that happening. Now, no, no different than when I bought my DSLR and I probably never picked up my film camera again. I shot a wedding years ago and I bought film in case my DSLR broke. Yeah. My DSLR didn't, and I used it and I probably threw the film away.
Now, so this is by far not a statistical sample, but the last three people I've talked to about buying a camera, I've for a while now, I've been telling people, you know, look at Sony, look, if you don't have any lenses or any, you know, a friend who's going to be loaning you great stuff, so you're totally open, look at Sony, look at Canon, and look at Nikon. And I know Gary says out in chat that Fuji is great. I often don't mention them, but, you know, they're good,
it's
too.
Usually the big three right now.
So I mentioned those three. The last three people I've talked to have bought either a Canon or Nikon, and not the mirrorless. They've stayed with a DSLR.
Really?
Yeah, they went with the lower end, you know, entry levels DSLRs from either Canon and Nikon.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting this year when I go down to Disney and on vacation. I want to see how many people are taking pictures with cameras, because I'll have my camera, versus how many people are taking pictures with their phones as well. Because we didn't get to the next article yet. I think less and less people are buying cameras, period, at this point. And I really think that's what's going to happen.
You're right. After, I think January is a disappointing month. February was a disappointing month. And now March, you know, the latest figures we have here, the interchangeable lens, which would include mirrorless.
Right.
It's is including down everything. 26% year over year. And I think that's actually slightly improved from January and February, where it's down even further. And the thing is, though, the fixed lens cameras, which I guess is basically your point and shoots, are actually up in sales.
Yeah, that's I cannot see. I did buy one a couple of years ago because it's a waterproof one. Yeah. That when I went on my cruise, I can go swimming with it and take pictures. Other than that, I don't. My phone takes better pictures than those cameras. That I was surprised at. But I think that the bigger problem right now is how many people are, and yet there's no doubt that cameras, when it comes to pictures at a sporting event, you're not going to use your phone.
Yep.
But if you're taking candid shots of friends, or even if you're on vacation and just taking a picture of the castle down on Main Street, my phone is probably going to take just as good pictures as my camera.
Yep. GF, and I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't remember your,
yeah, I forgot
your real name, but we can go with GF. GF says, oh, it just popped up on my screen over here. Hold on a second. Can't see the thing. Something popped up. All right. GF says, Mike sounds like the old film guys years back. And then he says, I'm buying a Nikon mirrorless as soon as they put two card slots in. So maybe I'm sounding like an old fuddy-duddy, but where I'm hopefully a little different, GF, is that I'm not saying, those mirrorless are just, you know, a fad. No, I think that's probably
I think that's where we're heading.
And someday I will probably be shooting one. It's just, you know, right now for what I do, my Nikon D500 works great. And my next camera, if you ask me today, if I was buying one today, my next camera, which would still do the sports fine, but would give me a lot more latitude in landscapes, would be the D850. And I think if you're living in the Nikon world, man, I can't see the Z7, which I think would be the competitor to the D850. I would definitely take the 850 over the Z7. And my D500, I would take over probably either one also. One thing, the two card slots, not a huge issue for me, but now that I live with them, yeah, I don't want to step back and go back to one card slot. And having that extra card slot is really nice. And I don't know why they wouldn't have done that. I do think, though, that the mirrorless offers some technological advantages that, you know, will continue to advance. I think it's going to advance at a faster pace and start leaving the DSLR behind. But, you know, the electronics, I don't know why for most of that you can't put in a DSLR too.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. Hopefully I don't sound too old and fuddy-duddy there, GF. But going back to the article here, the theory, of course, for a while has been why the DSLR sales are down because of phones. Because, you know, our phones are getting better and better at taking photos. But that doesn't, that goes contrary to the fact that actual fixed lens cameras are up. And maybe it's,
it really does. Unless they're including, unless they're including in that phones, but I
know in this article, they were not. Okay. So, you know, it could maybe, you know, we'd have to see more of the numbers and I don't think they give them to us here. It could be that fixed lens cameras were so depressed in prior year that they actually have hit some kind of bottom and had a little bit of a jump here going up. It also could be, so like me, you know, what has Nikon, if I'm a Nikon user or a Canon user, which are still a large number of people, mm-hmm. What have those two companies offered us that will make us move into a new camera? So if you're already a D850 user, Nikon, I would imagine most D850 users are not switching over to the Z7, the Nikon Z7.
I agree.
And Canon's probably in the same place. Now, the next generation of Z7, yeah, maybe so. Maybe they move off of that, you know, do something there. But a lot of them are not moving. So the problem could be there's not something for a lot of us to buy. And so it's not a matter of the market for interchangeable lenses is dead. And again, this includes mirrorless too. It's not the fact that it's dead. It's just a matter of there hasn't been an offering that's getting us to buy that to replace our current gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, one of the things I'm actually looking to do is, and I've been looking on eBay is getting one of the new A7 bodies or a used one and then buying it that way with a converter for my lenses and see what happens. I'm not going to buy a new one at its full price. It's just not conceivable for me to do that. But if I can buy one that's been used, and at a decent price, because now they're to version 3, you know, I could find a version 2 that's not overly expensive. Somebody would look to unload it.
And where are you buying that from?
Probably eBay.
Is that so? This is where I'm going to get fuddy duddy.
Okay.
I have not bought a whole bunch of stuff from eBay. As a matter of fact, maybe only one or two things. It just seems to me like a wild, wild west of sellers. And I have not bought from that. Now, I have bought several used cameras from, B&H and Adorama. Mm-hmm. And both of those have worked out. You know, they'll give you, hey, this is at whatever quality rating they have. And matter of fact, I bought my D2X back in the day, which at the time I bought it was Nikon's flagship camera. I bought this thing, and I think it was like one step down from like their most excellent rating on used. And when I got it, I had to really look all over it and finally found a little scuff mark mm-hmm. on there and said, wow, you know, that was a really good deal because I got a decent price on it and it had, I forget what it was, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 shots on it, which in a camera like this, which I think it's rated for 300,000 shots is nothing. And had really no defects other than that little scuff mark.
I definitely can remember. I've bought several things on eBay. I've bought, I think, two camera bodies off of eBay. Mainly one was because, and this was sad, my 1650 2.8 lens went bad. So it was cheaper to buy the camera with the lens on eBay, and it worked out perfect. I wound up buying another body because it came with the drive. And I wanted the drive, and it was cheap enough. And I bought a 100-400 lens. I think it was an f/4.56 or maybe 5.6. Maybe it was 5.6. And the lens was perfect at the time before I had my 7200. Knock on wood, I haven't gotten screwed yet on eBay.
Yeah, that's good. And Jeff says he used to hang out in camera shops, and the pros would tell amateurs, stick with film. Yeah.
I think for a couple of years.
I think that it happens a lot. As change happens, there's a group of people who will resist the change. Hopefully that's not what I'm doing. I'm just happy with what I got and will eventually change. I mean, I'm in no rush to spend money on stuff mm-hmm. like that. All right. So that's that. I downloaded, you know, Tim, you and I both have a lot of the Topaz Lab stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a lot of shoots I do are indoors. You know, you go in and shoot a basketball game and the lighting is awful. I don't get, you know, the Sports Illustrated strobes in the ceiling and that kind of stuff. I'm shooting in awful lighting. So a lot of my stuff is higher ISO and I got to deal with noise. I do shoot with a Nikon D500, which is a crop lens, a crop sensor camera, which is, if for a crop sensor camera, I think it's one of the best for handling noise, but a full frame is going to do better.
Right.
But for me, for sports, to tell you the truth, I prefer a crop sensor camera. But what I've haven't been totally happy with Lightroom's ability to handle noise. So I've given a try to, and I'm going to show you here in just a second, Topaz Labs Denoise AI. And it's very simple interface with not as many choices as I would like. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to demo the actual slide stuff around and you watch it happen because it will chew up. Fortunately, it uses a lot of GPU power. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I use up all our GPU power, our audio and video go out of sync on what we're doing right now.
Right.
And that no one's going to enjoy that. And I'm going to hate having to slice it back together in editing. But you don't want to watch us out of sync. So we're not going to get to see those kind of edits live, but I will show you a little bit. So let me get that lined up here so we can show you. All right. What I want to show you here is a before and after. And at this size, the right is the before, the left is the after. Let's pay no attention to whether this is a good shot. Pay no attention to whether it's exposed right or anything. I think at this point, I've not done any editing to it other than the noise stuff I'm going to show you in just a second. So the one on the right is the unedited. The one on the left is the edited, I believe. Why does it say edit? All right, the one on the right is before the noise adjustments. The one on the left is not, but I don't know why that says edit.
Yeah.
At this size, you can't tell any difference. If we go one to one, hopefully as you guys are watching in out there and you know, the streaming can see a difference. But at one to one, can you see a difference, Tim?
No.
You can't see a difference? So especially in the blue. Lots of noise. Let me go even to 2 to 1.
Well, Mike, in all honesty, the picture didn't change.
What?
The picture looks exactly the same right now to me.
Why is it not changing?
I still see.
You're right. It's not changing. So hold on, everybody. Let's go back to that. Why is that not changing? Display 2. All right. Let's try that again. Now let's go 1 to 1. Did it change there?
Yes. Now I can see. I'm like, boy, no, it don't look any different.
So in these, you're looking at the boy. He was the focus of the shot. The one on the right, again, is the without the noise treatment. The one on the left is with the noise treatment. Especially here in the blue, you can see lots of noise.
Blue, huge difference. Yes.
This one, if I remember right, is ISO 9000. So it's, you know, we're pushing it a little bit. The one on the left is the treated one. And if we go in even further, 2 to 1, it is going to get soft here because we're 2 to 1.
Even as you can see the difference in his eyes and his hair.
Yes. We are going to lose some detail, of course, when you got that much noise and you're trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, the detail I see is in the umpire's or the referee's sleeve. He's got a check missing out of his sleeve, if you notice. That third stripe right there.
Yeah, so
it turned blue.
But I don't know if it was there and then this one, though.
It's barely there, but it corrected it by putting blue into his arm.
Now, if we go back and look at the total shot, so I'm shooting at probably f2.8. And when we go and zoom in, when we go 1 to 1, even in the unedited one, I mean, he's going to be blurred out. I mean, he's far enough back that he's going to be blurred and not a primary focus. So if I lose detail in him when I go to edit it, I'm not. What is happening there? Oh, I'm not totally, opposed to losing detail in him with that. Some strange things happen, though. When I show you the interface, you'll see that there's not a lot of choice in the Adobe Denoise. Let's go to 2 to 1 so we can really see it. So, I mean, you can really see the noise it got rid of here. I haven't played with it a whole lot. I kind of let it kind of do its AI thing and then made a minor adjustment to it. I think what you would, to really do this, you really need to play with it a little more. I'll show you the sliders you have. It's not a lot, but the sliders you have where you can make some fine-tune adjustments to maybe make it a little better. But as you look here, I don't know if you can see this under right here under his arm. It didn't get that noise. So yeah, it did okay with the face. It got rid of a ton of noise in the face, a ton of noise in the hair, a ton of noise in the other part of the arm. But right there in that part of the arm,
it left a lot of noise.
It looks
like it reduced it a little bit, but it's definitely there.
It's definitely there. To me, it sticks out. It really sticks out there. As we go around, and we are 2:1, so we're pretty zoomed in. It did pretty good on the shirt.
The logo's good.
Yeah, the pants.
The bottom of the shirt, though, you could see it.
The bottom of the shirt used to have some there. In that, you're going to be mainly focused, I think, on the face, where it did a pretty decent job. But that arm, I'm a little concerned with that. And now from here you can do some more editing. So let's actually look at the denoise product. So here is Topaz denoise. And again, if I move these sliders and hit the button, it'll screw up. You know, we'll have a vortex of horrible stuff happen. So we're not going to be able to do that. What lens? He's asking me what lens. Let's go back and look at this. What lens was I shooting with? I'm pretty sure it's my 70-200 2.8. Where's the metadata? Yep, my Nikon 70-200 2.8 is what I shot that with. Jeff asked, which is a great lens. I love that lens. And shooting something like this, I could have used the 85-1.8 and got me a little bit more. And reduce that, but the 85, I mean the 7200 allows me to get more of the field, move around a little bit more with that. Sometimes that 85 is not long enough when they're further away, and too close when they're closer up. So this is This is Topaz Labs Denoise AI, and you really have three sliders. These buttons up here where you can change the brightness. That's really just for you. In your preview, it's not editing the image, it's just the preview for you. So maybe it's a darker image, you can brighten it up to see what's happening with some of your noise treatments. But you really have three sliders, the enhanced noise, or remove noise, not enhanced noise, remove noise. I did move it from, I think they had it down around, what was that? Around 18 was what it did. I moved it up to about 50. And then I move, which does do some of that smoothing that Gary says. And then I move the restore details up to about 50 also. Mm-hmm. This is going to take some more playing from me to see what I can do. And then I found with the enhanced sharpening that, man, it quickly starts getting halos all over the place. So you got to be very careful with that. I left it dialed pretty far down. What I wish they had is some kind of brush. That, you know, hey, I want to do certain sections.
Right. For certain parts.
Yeah, certain parts. You know that whole brush you have? What is that one where you can, from Topaz, where you can crop out something?
Remask?
Remask, yeah. I wish they had that feature here where I could, you know, mask certain areas and say.
Selectively pair what you want, right.
Yeah, but here you don't. You do have a button to show before and after. So I can, you know, show you before and after, and I can zoom in a little bit. 200%. So... okay, now zoom. Before and after doesn't work when you zoom in. Apparently before and after only works at 100%.
Yeah, no, it's identical. Unless it needs a horsepower.
Maybe it needs the horsepower because now it doesn't work here. Yeah, and I can't turn it on. But I think it needs the horsepower. It needs that update preview turned on, which I can't do. But you can see the before and after there. When you're normally doing it, but that's really it. There's nothing else. If you go here to denoise, there's undo. There's where you can see the original, where you can see the, you know, after, and then save it. That's it. So I bought it.
That seems.
I need to see if I can batch process through this. I don't see any way to batch process. Even here with this file preferences. Oh, what does preferences do? Nothing really. Wait. Preferences processing mode. GPU. So I mentioned before, it uses the GPU, which does make it go faster. If you have a decent GPU in your system.
And I don't have one in my system. So
you want to do that. You can go to CPU. And then you can tell it how much memory of your GPU you want to use. The more GPU, the more GPU memory, the faster it's gonna go. But I use GPU for the show that we're doing, so I can't do it right there. But I don't remember if they had a trial or not. For me, the verdict is still out on this, on whether it's something that I would use. I think it's doing, if I were to get you remove that much noise in Lightroom, it wouldn't do as good of a job. So it's definitely doing a better job than Lightroom. But I need more playing with it before I decide that it's something that I'm going to use on a regular basis. But it has to be able to do, batch processing. Because even just looking at my 9,000, did I do that here? Let's ISO speed, yeah, 9,000. I had 16 9,000 ISO images from that shoot, which was the highest ISO I used in that shoot. But I have, you know, at 7,200, I have 52 images from that shoot. Now, a lot of these, as you can see, have called out. So if I just narrowed it down to the ones that I'm going to use, it's far fewer. It's only 18. But still, I would want to batch process all 18 of these at this ISO all at once, not one at a time.
Right. Yeah, no. That would be painful.
Yeah. So I believe in this, if I get rid of that, in this shoot, I had 194 images after I called the images. So. Anyway, it's fun playing with new software, though.
I wish I had the time, Mike. I wish I had the time.
I know. But it is fun playing with new software, and sometimes you find something as you're playing with new software that works and helps you out. For me, noise is something I've been fighting for a long time. So anything that's going to help me with noise and the speed of editing is going to be a big plus.
Yeah, I agree.
So that was the last thing I had. I'm hoping to dive more into Luminar. We'll get AD on here at some time to do us an update, you know, review on that thing. And we'll have more coming. And we're going to go through a stint here where I think neither you or I are traveling.
Yeah. Until the first week of July, I think I'm around.
Yeah. Maybe here in the near future, we'll be a little more consistent. I'd like to thank GF and Jan and Gary for coming out and chatting.
Yep, I know
we got
you.
some other people who are hanging out and not commenting. That's fine. And thank you guys for coming out, watching us live. And we're going to head into post show now. And we'll see you next show. So until then, keep it raw.
Good night, everybody.